We're very happy to have Brother George and Sister Martha with us at our convention. I think this is the first time we've had the privilege of having Brother and Sister Baca with us at our fall convention, and I'm sure we appreciate their fellowship together in the Lord. Brother George has selected, I think, what we will find a very interesting topic for our consideration this afternoon. His subject is pride in principles. Pride and principles for the Baca.
Thank you, brother. We're so happy to be here. This is our first occasion to travel this far south, and maybe it's a nice country. And we bring you the Christian, the warmest Christian love from the West Newton Ecclesia, which lies about 25 miles south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they send their warmest love to you. And I thought we'd discuss a little the things that's happening in our lives. This happens in my life, so whatever I say, I'm speaking for myself also. In the very beginning, when our Heavenly Father was by himself, I don't think it was lonely for him, because our Father knows nothing about loneliness, but he had these plans and purposes in his mind. And he went about it in such a way as to our benefit. And whatever he did, we can believe it's so. And he created the locust, and it must have been a wonderful creation, because it says, daily was I his delight. That would have been a nice thing to see in the presence of our Heavenly Father, to oversee it, not oversee it, brother, but to look over and to see the Almighty Heavenly Father and the Son working in the creation. And I imagine he was so pleased to do everything that was concerned about the will of the Heavenly Father. He established those things that we can look to. That man did not come from a monkey. I often wondered why these evolutionists continue along that line, because they have no hope. In the end, they die, and I've never heard one say that sometime in the future that they will be. But why are they so interested in these things? And here is a simple solution that the Heavenly Father has created us in his image and his likeness, that we have wisdom, knowledge, love, we have mercy, all these qualities our Heavenly Father has, and those that have been established by him. A perfect timekeeper, he created these things, and they look upon these things that I've heard many scientists say that surely someone is behind this. It didn't happen just like that. In him there is no variableness nor turning, nor shadow of turning. You could never imagine the Heavenly Father turning, or that he would turn, because whenever he says something, that's the way it would be. And they say the human race is going upward. But yet we read and we know that there are great men back there that built the temple. There's no one could build a temple like they built. And they're amazed how the pyramids are built. All these things, and then they say man is advancing, and they can't compare their work with the work that the Heavenly Father supervised with the early man, right after Adam was created. But the most spectacular creation of God was his dear Son. Now that's something that has been established. in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, and this is found, by the way, in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, 12th verse, and also the 6th chapter, 5th and 6th chapter of Hebrews. You've read it many times. That God has established principles, and that we should establish principles. And once we establish these principles, to stay with them. Very difficult at times, and I'll give you many instances how these things can be broken and what can happen, but that'll be later. In the 8th chapter of Proverbs, the 30th verse, we read something there that Solomon told us. This is in the Amplified Bible. It'll be a little different than yours. And then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master and director of the work, and it was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. Beside him as a master, that our Lord was with the Heavenly Father creating these things. So when he came to the earth, he knew what he was talking about, because after the heavens were opened up unto them, that all came to him, who he was, what his was to accomplish here on the earth. And then it says he spoke as one having authority, and he surely would, wouldn't he? They speak, they have moving pictures of, I think there's one titled, Oh God, and they talk about him as being a man upstairs. But how strange, when Moses was on the mount, the Heavenly Father, and I don't believe that was the Heavenly Father, I think that was the holy angel representing the Father, and Moses was told to take his shoes off because that is hallowed ground. And our Heavenly Father's name, and our Lord Jesus' name is so hallowed, we don't use it just ordinarily. We use it as something great and marvelous. I can imagine the Heavenly Father, this is the way we would think, in telling the Logos. And I've done this with my son, and I imagine you've seen it with the sisters with their daughters. This is how you should construct this. The Heavenly Father would, with his son, to take the atoms, to split them, stuff them, move them out, close them up, whatever it was, or however they created. But he was with his son, and they created these things. And they established the principles of this universe, so we know when it's going to be summer, when it's going to be fall, winter. We know when there's going to be an eclipse. All these things, because those were established. And that's how great the Heavenly Father is. And the precision of the celestial bodies, how great that is. I marvel sometimes. And then walking along, sometimes along the river back home, there's a railroad tracks. And there was a wonderful odor in the air. I wondered what it was. Until I looked everywhere, and finally below, along the bank, there were these wild daisies. And he put them there for me to smell. Or breathe in that wonderful aroma. Isn't that a great Heavenly Father? Even thought of me there, and that's the way David expressed it. When I look into the heavens, David said, what is man that thou art mindful of? And so we, through the Holy Spirit, get an understanding of what our Heavenly Father is like, and how he's established these things with his Son. Some say, I've heard this many times, and you've probably heard it too, we all believe in the same God, but we don't believe in the same God. And oh, you want to stand up and say, no. Sometimes a preacher giving a sermon at a funeral will say this, you know that man, I knew that man all my life. And he wasn't much account, he'd been a drunkard, maybe he was a relative, or whatever it was, that you had known him, and his life wasn't good, and yet this preacher said God took him to heaven. That's not the Heavenly Father we know, the intelligent, the being that created this universe and did all those things for us. And to take something on that order, which he has no use for. In the dictionary, principle gives an explanation for the word principle. It's a primary source. And so when we have established the truth in our minds, and if you're a little older or elderly, you remember how you started out. And I myself, I remember I used to say, I wish someday that I would know as much as those elders do. And you know, it's coming to me. But it's a process of learning, studying, attending conventions and classes, and making that the most important of all things in my life, and yours too. Hasn't that happened? The assumption or underlying faculty or endowment that you were born with these things that God had put into you in creation. And he had put in Adam, that he was in the image of God, and he was capable of thinking, and that he'd have a conscience. And so, what happened with Lucifer? He saw this wonderful pair who created Adam and Eve, and he turned against God. He had left his principles. He had forgotten that God had created him. And I would say all Bible students know who their Creator is, because that's why they know him, because they desire to know him. You have to learn the basic truth. When you started out, it was just as though you were drinking milk. It was so good for you. It made you grow until you become a man or a woman, or you become a Christian. And then you started the deeper things, and you watch a little a mother with a little baby, 3 or 4 months old, and they slip in a little bit of I forget what they give them, but they give them maybe some peas or something, whatever babies had. Ours is all grown up and gone, so I forget what it was. But little by little, the mother gives that child so they grow. And these mothers that have watched over us are the elders, and the elders are brothers and the sisters, and they're teaching the young ones how to grow. And they're giving them food to eat. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, remember our Lord, after John had baptized him, and then there was the temptation, how Satan had taken him into the mountains there, and how that temptation had taken place? What's most important to you, to have a loaf of bread every day, or that you know that this life that we live now is going to end? And as in Adam all die, we must go. And I remember when I was a little boy, we used to listen on the radio. I don't remember his name, but it was A March of Time. And he says, and as must to all men. And that was a frightening thing to hear. For a little boy, as must to all men, and that was someone died that day, someone important. So Jesus had this turmoil with the devil, and Satan had tried to deceive him to take these stones, turn them into bread, and cast himself down, tempt the Heavenly Father, and so forth. But our Lord had known who the Heavenly Father was. Oh no, he had an answer. like you and I have an answer every time something comes up in our life. You'll come up against a crisis and it'll be overwhelming. I wonder what's going to happen to me. I'm going to lose my home, my money, whatever. But let it go. Hard to do, but that's what you're supposed to do. Let it go. Because really, you're not going to live. Because you've been condemned to death in Adam. But we have come out of that into following the Lord. And so you live out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord and our Heavenly Father. So we have learned those principles. And I remember I was born in the truth, and that's quite a few years back. And I remember some of the things that had happened. There was many separations, testings, and trials to see who believed. And I know many instances of these trials came up. And I remember one time that these elders, the brethren, were saying, this goes that way, and this goes. They were all mixed up in their belief. And I know I remember my mother said, here it is in the Bible. This is the way it goes. And you know, that's what brought them together again. That's what the Lord says is what's most important. And that's what we're supposed to take into our lives. Thus saith the Lord. Just a few words, but very important. They said in back in the 1930s, they would say, well, this brother or sister is going to stay with the JWs or whatever it was. They're going to stay there because they love their brother. But look what happened. That is going for principle. I mean, losing your principles in life for love. But you have to have something to love first that you can devote all your love to, that you would give your life to. You don't give your... Because the world has love also. I have seen people in the world that sometimes they would almost put us to shame with their love. They would do anything for you, and yet they know not the truth. But you and I know the truth, and those principles have been established. You shall forever know that Christ died for Adams. And this is one of the things that came up in the 1930s, and that's how we came out and we met a few of the brethren. We went back to the Bible, and then we met the Bible students, and we got together. But that was one of the most important. They said Adam wasn't coming back, but we perfect man for a perfect man, you cannot change that. That's the way it is, thus saith the Lord. And he's established that. Job, the brother mentioned about Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. You're a free agent. Every one of us, what we believe is we believe it because we believe it, not because someone forcing us to believe. But we're intelligent creatures and we love God, we love one another, and this is what we believe. And that's the way Job was. He says, I'll maintain mine own ways. Even though he slay me, I'll still try to follow him. See where he leads me. In Daniel 8, first chapter, the 8th verse, Daniel was brought into this kingdom, onto this king, and he was told to eat this certain food that the servants were supposed to eat and benefit from that. But Daniel says, that's good, but I want this food here that I brought. And what I think it means to us, what this world has to offer as far as food, to us that is the truth, we'd rather not have theirs, we would rather have the Lord's. What we have been taught to eat, what Daniel was taught to eat. Because in the end, it was shown that Daniel was just as healthy, in fact, healthier than the ones that had the king's food or the world's food. So we will end up healthier, more with more love and faith in God by eating the food that God has prepared for us. Remember the story of Gideon? What a wonderful man he was. They weren't allowed to take any of the food for themselves and these grains that they had, but Gideon took it and hid it. He wasn't going to abide by that rulership that was over them then. And so the Lord saw that, the story about Gideon and how he had taken 32,000 men, and the Lord says, too many. He brought them down to 300, and they were down to this, they came down to this pool of water, and there they were drink. And they were drink in such a fashion that they could see what's happening. So we eat of the Lord's food, and we see what's happening. So our lives are never in danger, because we'll trust in the Lord and know His truth. This scripture in the front here calls to mind when the Korean War was on. And my youngest brother, Paul, was in Korea. He was a conscientious objector, but he was in an outfit that sprayed all of the swamps for the control of the pests and so forth. And he was feeling depressed, and so he wrote home. He doesn't know what to do. And this is what the scriptures I wrote to him. And he felt so good. Not to worry. Wonder sometime what you would say in this situation if you come up against someone with authority in the world. I've often thought of that, but I placed myself, and for a good reason, I thought of David. What would David do, or these other ones that were strong in the faith of God? And they said, no matter what, if I don't say anything, that's enough. But if I trust the Lord, if I have to say something, the Lord will let me know what to say. And that's happened many times in my life. I know it's happened in yours. That the Lord will put words in your mouth. And what are these words? It's the scriptures you learn daily. You apply them in such a way that they do you some good. They show people that you know the Lord. Many, many years, if you were living in the one small town or city, you never said anything to anybody, how would they know what you believed or what? But if you talk to them, they would get an understanding. You remember the principles Joseph had followed? He wanted to do what his heavenly father wanted him to do. He always did what was right. And the brother says that Joseph, you couldn't find anything wrong with him. And how true. It was like our Lord Jesus. There was nothing you could say against him. Such a wonderful person. I remember one, it was a Monday morning, come back to work, and the foreman told me, he says, George, he says, I feel so good. I said, what is it, John? He says, well, I went to Mass on Sunday, went to church and had Mass, did Mass, or however they do that, on Sunday, And I came home, I ate a meal with my family, and then I sit down and I watch the football game on TV, and he had a couple of drinks or whatever it was. He read the paper and he felt so good. I thought, oh, that man is grateful, he's happy.